Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is No Justice, No Peace. I lived with my family at one point in a building, an old Sears building across from the Dallas police station. And we were about 8 floors up in an apartment. And some mornings we would be awakened very, very early in the morning by protesters across the street in front of the police station, placards marching in an oval, and as loud as they could scream, no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. No, and they would go on forever and ever, no justice, no peace. So what in the world does that mean? You say, well, why would you take on something like this when you don't know anything about this? Because this is not where you come from. You don't understand. You don't have to completely understand something to listen. Okay? So I'm going to make some remarks, and then we're going to jump into the scripture. When you look up this word justice, a few of the definitions are very interesting. The administering of deserved punishment or reward. Also can be the principle of fairness, that like cases should be treated alike. That a black person should be treated like a white person. You say, well, that's what goes on. It doesn't go on, folks. Not everybody gets treated the same. You know how you should know that? Because we don't treat everybody the same. We don't treat everybody the same. If I pulled 4 men from this crowd, if I brought a white man up here, a black man, a Hispanic man, and an Asian man, and I said, let's rank them in terms of importance, which one did you think just like that was more important? Because we all, if we got really honest, say, well, if we had to lose one of them, we'll lose that dude. Which one of them is more athletic? See, we jump to conclusions. Which one's smarter? And where does that even come from? If you even had a thought about one of them, why do I even think that way? They're all just people, right? But that's not how we treat people. Martin Luther King said something interesting outside of California prison back in 1967, December 14th, 1967, where Vietnam War protesters were being held. And this is what he said, and he wasn't trying to incite a riot. He said, there can be no justice without peace, and there can be no peace without justice. Now, he said, well, why would you attack this? Why would you talk about this? It's not just about this. We're going to go to some other stuff in this same context. Because this is where we live, and Christians should be blazing this trail. We of all people ought to demonstrate to the world that, yes, there is justice. Yes, there can be peace. And this is how you do it, instead of being part of the problem. Because ultimately, these problems that we face, you can't fix. The government can't fix it. Debates can't fix it. Until a person's heart is changed, you don't fix this. And only God can change a man's heart, a woman's heart. So we of all the people on the planet should be way out ahead of this thing and demonstrating that this is how you're going to know that we're his disciples, that we love one another. So forget what's going on the rest of the planet. Just look at this room. Just look around this room. Find somebody in this room that you're repelled by. We don't have to jump way out there. But if in a simple room like this, we figure these things out and genuinely love each other and value one another just because we're human beings, you'd be amazed at the impact you're going to have in the world. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Let's do some just basic stuff. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God made male and female in his image. He created them. That's it. So if you meet another human being, you can be sure of this. They're made in his image. And you are not any better or any worse than them. And if you think you're better than them, you got the problem. We reveal so much of ourselves to ourselves, if we just pay attention, by the way we think about the people we see. It's so fascinating to me still that ignorance and arrogance sound so similar. Arrogant people, I am more educated, I have more money, I have a nicer this, I can do that. And we get all blown up, puffed up. You're just going to explode. You're going to get so big and make a mess. So I'm asking you to pay attention. Listen, find someone you can listen to, and then look around, and as you interact with the world, ask yourself, okay, God, show me today how I feel about myself by the way I treat other people. And you say, well, I'm not saying any of these things you're saying, but what if you're thinking them? Go to Isaiah 59, and this is just one little example. I mean, I read a ton of scripture where these things come from. Keep going to the right from Genesis. I promise you it's not left. Now, let me say this again while you're looking. I am not claiming to have figured this out. I am just more painfully aware all the time that I have issues. I don't like the things that I think. I don't like the way I view the world. And God's trying to say, dude, where is that coming from? That is not him. It's me. It's the old me. It's the flesh. It's the part that's got to go so that I can just live in a world and interact with people. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. So what's at the core of it? It's sin. When you deal with sin God's way, then there is justice and there can be peace. But if you're not willing to look at your own sin, my own sin, and instead of saying it's somebody else, it's their problem, they're wrong, it couldn't possibly be me, start with you. I start with me and say, God, search me, try me. It's hard enough to correct me, much less attack the whole world and try to fix them. I go to Romans chapter 5. So let's talk about this sin problem. I actually go to Romans 6. I don't normally do this, but we'll do 6 and then we'll back up to 5. So this is usually a verse people memorize, one of the first things they memorize, pretty simple, and explains a lot of this. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So here's the no justice, no peace. For there to be justice, because what? The wages of sin is death, then it has to be paid. So if there's to be justice, then something has happened, something has been done that requires death. So unless somebody dies, there will never be peace. I will never experience peace. I will never have peace with God, the peace of God, from God. There will be no peace. So if there is no justice, there is no peace. So what do you do if the wages of sin is death? And we all admit that we're sinners. If you're willing to go there, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pretty simple verse 2. So you say, okay, well, I'm a sinner. Then there has to be justice because I deserve death. So a lot of people are trying to experience peace, but they're not willing to experience justice. And if you say, well, I don't need God, and I can take care of myself, and maybe I've done a few things wrong, but I don't need some Jesus, some whatever, then the reason you will never have peace is there is no justice because you can't fulfill it. If you want peace with God, you have to accept his justice. Now, how was his justice executed and who paid the price? Who died? Now, this is the simplicity of the gospel. God is holy. The wage of sin is death. So he says, somebody's got to die. And Jesus says, I'll do the dying. So now there is justice. How is that justice? It's not fair. I'm the one that sinned. I deserve to die. Built into God's justice is his mercy, his grace, forgiveness. And he says, look, I'll make a deal. If someone will fit the justice part, I'll give you peace. There'll be peace with me. You'll experience peace with him, yourself, other people. But you got to get in on that deal. Now go back to Romans 5. Verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, so you're made right with God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. But you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you say, well, I want peace. And he's saying, well, you keep saying the same thing over and over because this is your only hope. You will never have peace with God until you do it God's way. And his way is there is no peace unless there's justice. So no justice, no peace. So you say, well, how do I get justice? I deserve to die. No, you say, yes, I deserve to die. Jesus says, I died for that. So there the justice part is satisfied because you did it God's way, not your way. And now you get peace. You say, well, how do you talk anybody into doing that? You don't. You just tell them the facts and let the Holy Spirit work on them. And all of a sudden they go, wow, that's crazy. That's not even possible. But yeah, I'll get in on that deal. Go to Romans chapter 12. And again, this is a very simple verse, but almost impossible to pull off. Verse 18, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So what can I do? What can you do? What can we do to live peaceably with the people around us? People say, well, I read the Bible and it says difficult things. I don't understand it. Now listen to me closely. It may not be so much you don't understand it, you don't want to understand it. A lot of people saying, I don't understand the Bible because they don't like what the Bible says to their situation. So I encourage you to go back and read it again and say, Lord, I agree to do whatever it says. You'd be amazed how much it makes sense all of a sudden. Because what it will tell you is usually diametrically opposite of what you're feeling, what your impulse is, what you react and want to do. I mean, the world's way is, well, he flipped me off, I flipped him off back. And now we all feel better. That fixed it. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now that's a pretty simple statement. For as many of you as were baptized or put into Christ have put on Christ, therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So somehow in that little verse, those bunch of verses, it doesn't sound like anybody's a little higher in the pecking order than anybody else. Even Jews don't trump us anymore. Now, is that really what you believe? Or do certain people have less value? Because the color of their skin, because their education, their economics. What is it? How do you rate? Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go down to verse 11. Similar thing here, putting two groups together. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, in other words, just as human beings in a body, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. In other words, circumcision, Jewish people, uncircumcised people, Gentiles, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. It's not slave or free, male or female. It's not Jew. It's not Gentile. And here's how twisted it can get. People say, well, but the Bible clearly, and this is where I'm coming from, says men should lead. So that makes men more important than women. It never says that anywhere. Because you have a responsibility doesn't mean you're better than anybody. It just means you have a responsibility. And so then women come along and say, well, I don't think this is fair. I think women should be equal. It does not say there are certain responsibilities that men have that women don't have. And you say, well, I don't like that. I don't know what to tell you. Then you don't like the Bible. You don't like what God said. You say, but I feel inferior. That's not God telling you that. That you thinking it's not right or fair and you want a position or whatever that is. Your argument's with him, not with us. So then churches that won't lead say, well, we're going to make all the women happy. Don't go down that trail. I don't think ultimately women want to be made happy. They want to be led. And then if they got issues, they got issues with God. Now, if you're a piece of work husband or man and arrogant and dictatorial and abusive, then you got a problem. So it's one, male, female, one. We're all one. So who's better in one? If there's only one, it must be the one. You say, but I think you can't be that way because I need to feel better. You got a problem. It needs to be about me. I'm smarter. I got more money. I got whatever your thing is. So when we don't get scripture, we don't live according to this stuff, don't understand it, then we go around either feeling bad because we think someone's better than us or good because we think someone's worse than us. And there's never any peace because we're never content. We're never okay just being who God made us to be. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have their preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Why do we sing and talk so much around here about the blood? Because you have no justice without the blood. You have no peace without the blood. Because the blood of Christ satisfied the requirement of justice that someone has to pay. And Jesus says, okay, I'll pay. With my own blood, I'll pay. And God says, okay, that'll fix it. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and let's go down to verse 16. Now, don't just listen to me read this, and don't just read it and not absorb it. Put yourself here and say, is it possible that I am being spoken to somewhere here? James 3:16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. If you really have experienced justice in letting Christ be your payment and you have peace, then you end up being a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. You're going to be a different person. You're going to interact differently. You're going to listen differently. What do we do with little kids? A little kid falls down, gets hurt, scrims her knee, something they're crying about, they're upset. So we sit down with them, and if you know what you're doing, you say, hey, what happened? They start crying and telling their deal. Well, how'd that happen? Tell me about that. If you have a brain, you don't go, well, that was stupid. Well, I never did that. What's wrong with you? They're hurting. Something's going on. So we come alongside and say, tell me about it. What happened to you? Wow, I bet that hurt. What did that feel like? It's not hard to find people who care. Because when people care and they love you, you know it pretty quick. You say, well, you're being judgmental. No, I'm being observational. You'll know them by their fruit. It's a whole lot easier to be religious than it is to be holy. A whole lot easier. And it's a whole lot easier to say all the words than it is to back those words up with a real life, not hypocrisy, and where there's some accountability where someone says, dude, you're out of line. You're not listening. You don't get it. We have a man sitting in this room today, a black gentleman, who will tell you stories when he was a kid, the sheriff would come down to his house and pull two of his brothers out, and I think take them down to the police station and just beat them. You say, well, that's back then. That doesn't happen anymore. Just because it didn't happen to you doesn't mean it ain't happening. One more, 1 John chapter 1. And a bunch of you know this one by heart, and some of you have never even heard it. 1 John 1:9 says this, and it's very simple, but so profound in the context. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and what? Just. So how does it make it just of him to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Because we are confessing our sins, which means we screwed up. But the deal he cut was this. The wages of sin is death, but I've made provision for your sin so you don't have to experience death. And if you confess your sins, he's faithful and what? Just. I'll keep my deal. So you say, well, that's just not fair. It's not fair for Jesus. Of course not. But don't miss heaven because of that. He was willing to die and the only one that could die in your place. So accept that. Because if you allow for God's kind of justice with Jesus, then you can experience peace in your life with that same God and in your life and amazingly with other people.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
I've shared a little of this along the way. For a long time, I was upset with my daddy. And without saying it, I guess I wanted something bad to happen to my daddy because I was angry and things that had happened or he had said. And I had a conversation with him recently and said these words out loud, I'm doing the best I can with what I've got, and Daddy, you did the best you could with what you had. He said, well, did bad things happen? Yeah. But what are you going to do with that? Now, I'll tell you how we demonstrate what we'd like to see done with that. We have issues with people, and we say things like this, to hell with you. Now, see, you say, well, that's just a little phrase. That is a justice comment. What you're feeling, what you're expressing is, I'd like you to go to hell. And that would satisfy what you did to me. Or, I won't say it, but GD you. You're like, well, who would say that? Do you know what you're saying? Unfortunately, I think too many times we do know what we're saying. And we're so upset that we are kind of saying out loud, I am asking God to damn you to hell for what you did to me. As though that's going to fix it. Even if God were to do that, where does that leave me? And what does that say about me? And what's going to happen to me if that's my heart? Instead of doing what he's willing to do and forgive. And it's so hard to explain to people that when you forgive someone, you think, well, you're setting them free. You're not setting them free. You're setting yourself free from the bitterness and the anger and the hatred and the justice that you require. So when you finally know justice God's way, then you know peace God's way. And then it starts to make sense. My life has been way better forgiving than demanding justice, because I had no peace. And now I have peace with God, the peace of God, the way He intended.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.